God,
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. You know, this is the perfect week to start talking about the future. The story of John and Jesus is one of transition. And there's transitions all over Scripture. John and Jesus is one of them. John is baptizing, John is preaching, people are coming to him, he's preparing for the Messiah, and he has this moment where he sees Jesus come to him, and I think in our minds we tend to think that they were just like old buddies, and he knew Jesus was the Messiah, and he was just waiting for Jesus to talk about it, but really that wasn't the case. I don't know that they knew each other well. Their parents obviously did, but you know, that doesn't mean that they grew up best friends. And John talks in a different part of the scripture that when he sees the Spirit come down on someone like a dove, that's his sign that that person is the Messiah. That's the one he's been waiting for. So in a sense, when we see that, read about that scene in today's gospel, that was the sign for John that this is the one. And John afterwards, it's not in our reading, but afterwards makes the comment, I must decrease, he must increase. He recognizes when he sees that sign, it's time for the transition to begin. Shortly after that, John's put in prison and beheaded. Scripture's full of transition, and I feel like this is just the week we need to talk about this. I personally would rather just avoid hard feelings, but and I don't mean hard feelings like grudges, but difficult emotions, but that's not good. That's not healthy for us. Transition is a part of life. It's a part of Scripture. We see from Abraham to Isaac, a transition. Isaac to Jacob is a transition. Moses to Joshua is a transition. David to Solomon is a transition. And in the New Testament, it's full of transitions. John the Baptist to Jesus, Jesus to his apostles, and in his apostles, when they're dying, to their disciples. The church is in continuous transition. And those of you who have an institutional memory here, remember transitions in St. Peter's. And here we are now in the midst of one more. And there's some great wisdom in the scriptures from our from transitions. And I want to just share with you one story of a transition. It's my favorite transition in the scriptures. It's Moses to Joshua. And those of you who did the Moses study with me know how much I love Moses. And Moses to Joshua, you have to think of the magnitude of how hard this was for the Israelites. For 40 years, they had one person who led them every day, Moses, and now he's gone. And the question is, what do we do? So I love the story of the transition that we see in the first chapter of Joshua, because God, I like to call this God's blunt encouragement. God's blunt encouragement. Now think about this. The man who led this people for 40 years is dead. God speaks to Joshua, and he says this. First words Joshua hears, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore get up, go over to the Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving you. Every place that the sole of your foot treads upon, I have given to you just as I promised to Moses. Maybe God doesn't come at it in the most sensitive way to start. Moses is dead. Get up. Get going. It's time. And Joshua surely probably is a little overwhelmed. I think the people are probably overwhelmed. So in that story, three times, you hear God give Joshua a certain phrase, be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you will go. Now, don't be strong and courageous because you're overconfident or because you're an optimist. Be strong and courageous because you know this promise to be true. The Lord your God is with you wherever you will go. And I imagine it was terrifying for the Israelites because when Joshua took over, things changed. Moses led them, and Moses performed signs and wonders, and Moses did all this for them. And then when Joshua leads, he tells them something different. He said, this is going to be your home. You pick up a sword and you fight for it, because it's yours, and you're going to sacrifice for it. And this is totally different than how Moses led them. Moses, you know, he parted the sea. Moses, manna fell from heaven, and Joshua says, now it's time for you to fight for it. And it changes. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. So I use those same words for you as we face this transition together. Be strong and courageous for what's coming. The Lord your God is with you wherever you would go. People have asked, and we talked about this again this morning, and just a little commercial. If next week we'll have the same discussion or a similar discussion, we just have a little open time in between the services where we talk just bluntly about whatever questions people may have about the transition, what it looks like. Some of you that are familiar with the Episcopal Church and the process have some experiences in the past. Some of you that are not don't know what happens. They ask, does the bishop send a priest? How does it work? So we were talking about that this morning. And just to give you a short overview, is the church calls a priest. There's a difference in the church being appointed a priest. If this were a Catholic church, we wouldn't even need to have this conversation. The bishop would just appoint someone. I'm not saying that's the wrong way to do it. It's just the way they do it. It's different. In the Episcopal Church, you call a priest, which means you have the autonomy to do that, hopefully prayerfully, to ask God, what do we need? Who do we want God to send us? And then to go and look for that person and call them here. The autonomy is on you. You're not passive in this process. Don't be passive in this process. It won't work if you're passive in the process. It will fail. It works if you're active in the process, because the onus is on you calling a priest. So you'll have a search committee, and the search committee will work to gather information from you. They'll want to listen to you. They'll want to talk to you about, what are you praying for St. Peter's future? What are you praying for? What do you want to see God do here? What are you praying for in your next leader? What are you praying for areas to come to life here? What are areas that are alive that you want to see grow further? What are you praying for? They want to hear from you. And that's going to be become what we call a profile. And that's going to be what goes out to the church to say, this is who St. Peter's is, and here's what we need. So you're calling a priest. It's a different idea than someone being appointed. It works if you're active in the process. It does not work if you're passive. So with that in mind, I want to encourage you with three ways to think and pray about this process in the weeks ahead, because those conversations are going to be here before you know it. The search committee is going to be working. And people have asked, why isn't the search committee already working? They have orders from the bishop and the diocese not to start until I leave. So they're not being lazy. They're not being slow. They're just being faithfully obedient to the bishop in that regard. So three things you can think about that I hope help you in your prayer for St. Peter's. And please do pray for your church. Please do. One is, this is something I've heard from people. I hope we don't get stuck with blank. Fill in the blank. I hope we don't get stuck with, I don't know, fill in that blank with whoever you don't want to be your next priest. And that's what I've heard. I hope we don't get stuck with. Again, you're calling your priest, so you're not going to get stuck with anyone you don't choose to get stuck with. But what a better way to think about that would be to think about, I hope God sends us this. Or I hope God leads someone here who does this. That's a helpful way. When the search committee is going to be talking to you about what's your prayer and vision for St. Peter's future, I hope we don't get blank is not really helpful to them. But I've been praying for God to send us someone who understands what it's like to have young children, or understands what it's like to have teenagers, or who's had life experience. Whatever it is that you're praying for that you feel this church needs, those are helpful things to be praying for and to give them, that they can hear you. I've been praying for God to send us someone who's this, not I hope we don't get stuck with. A second thing I hear, this is a funny one, it will never be the same. It will never be the same. And that, you know, that's probably true. I imagine, you know, in the late 80s when Ray Clark retired after 40 years, people thought it would never be the same, and it probably wasn't. It was different. And those of you who have enough institutional memory to go back to Dave Dupre, when he left, might have thought it'll never be the same. And it probably wasn't. God's always stretching us. Doesn't always need to be the same. Most of the time we grow when it's not the same, when God brings us something new. And you know, I'm different than your previous priests have been. And you guys were welcoming and warm to me, and God's been able to do things in our time together. And the next priest will probably be very different from me, but that doesn't mean that's a bad thing. You know, God's always doing something new and stretching us and expanding us. So I would think a way to look at that is, this is what would make St. Peter's great. This is what would get me excited about St. Peter's in the next year or 2 years. Instead of it'll never be the same, to think about, well, what would get me excited in a year or two to see happening here? What am I praying for God to do here that would just, I'd be so filled with enthusiasm about? What are some of those things? I think those are some good things to pray about. And when the search committee talks to you, you can give them those things. That's a more helpful way to think about that. And I think a more helpful way to pray about those things. What would make you excited? You know, what do you think about happening here that kind of, you know, captures your passion and your enthusiasm? And think about it that way. And then the third one, is, well, I'll wait and see what happens. And like I said, that doesn't work if you're calling a priest. That'll be fine if someone's sending you a priest. But if you're calling a priest, I'll wait and see means I'm going to be passive in the process, not active in the process. It doesn't work when you're passive. So the other alternative to that is, I'll engage. One of the best things, my favorite thing in the whole world, is to come out here on a Sunday morning when I first walk out the door and see your faces. And when I look in your faces, I know you. And I can look at you and I can know your story. I know what you've been through. I know what you're struggling with. I know where God's been working in your life for the most part. And it's so cool to just think, all these people, so different, God brought together this morning. That's not an accident. I mean, you're here. You might think, well, it just kind of worked out that we came here. But, I mean, the randomness of this group coming together for any other reason than God bringing you together, it's incredible to see all of you as part of the church. And so, in this church, there's a reason you're here. There's a reason you're here. You were drawn, you were called, something came alive in you when you came here. You've been here, and this has been part of your growth in your faith for decades. Whatever the story is, there's a reason you're here, and it's for times like these. You have something the church needs. So I'll wait and see isn't helpful when you need to be active in calling. It's too passive. A wait and see isn't going to help this church. Engage. If you were going to give, give. If you were going to serve, serve. The church doesn't stop. Think about those people that Joshua was leading after Moses died. And Joshua said, here's what's going to happen. God wants us to do something different. This is going to be our home. This is going to be our land. We have to fight for it. It has to mean something to us. We have to sacrifice for it. And they said, I'm just going to wait and see what happens. You know, if somebody moves out, maybe I can put an offer on a house. I'm just going to wait and see what happens. I'm not going to go take the land. It wouldn't have worked. If they were passive, it wouldn't have worked. And just in the same way, it doesn't work in a church when everyone says, I'll wait and see. This is God's church, and it's your church. So don't wait and see, because this process only works if you're active in it. And I know the scariest thing that we face in life is the big unknown future thing that we can't see and wrap our hands around. We love the past thing because we know the past thing, at least. Even if the past thing is bad, we know how to handle the bad past thing. But the future thing, I don't even know what that is. I don't even know how it works. It's scary. Believe me, I'm right there with you. There's snakes in Texas. There's roaches in Texas. Right? I get it. I'm scared too. I understand. The big scary future thing is hard. I imagine those Israelites who, for the first time in 40 years, had to take a sword in their hand and fight for it. Were terrified. They were terrified. Joshua was probably terrified. But here's where the comfort comes. The big scary future thing isn't scary to God. He already knows what it is. He already has it. It's just scary to us because we don't see it. So the words to Joshua, I would say, are my words to you this morning. And as we face this transition, my words to myself. When I have moments of doubt and fear, and believe me, I do, is to be strong and courageous. Don't shrink. Don't be passive. Don't wait and see. Don't back down. This is God's church. This is your church. You're here for a reason. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you will go. And I will tell you this, if I can bear witness to one thing in my time at St. Peter's, beyond a shadow of a doubt, it's this. God loves this church. He has such a vested interest in this place to see it live and lead and thrive. I can say it without a shadow of a doubt. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you will go. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.